And I was excited about this opportunity. And I said, Lord, what do you want us, your children, to hear? Sometimes he wants us to go over things we've heard before and just solidify that inside of us. You know, we're bombarded with lies, deception. I mean, every commercial is somebody trying to make you do something. Buy this car. Go to this restaurant. Eat this food. Use this bank. Buy this insurance, over and over and over and over. I think insurance have cornered the market on advertising. But they want us to do something. And I'm here to tell you, I always want to tell you the truth. What they want to do will benefit them. Hopefully, it will benefit you also. But that's not the bottom line. The bottom line, it will benefit them. Well, when we come to church, when we come into the presence of God, even in our own home, it's a whole different story. We come to him, and we can trust him, because what he's doing is for our benefit, to help us. I love that. I love what he does for us. And I'm very excited about some things that are coming up. I'm excited about us having a summer, not picnic, because that would mean we'd have to go outside in the heat. But a summer dinner, a summer fellowship. Be sure and tell your sister, please, Sandra. Hopefully she'll come. And invite anybody you want to. Of course, we want Francis there. And anyone that you want to bring, Fernando and all the other people. I think we were talking this morning, let's just have one service that day. Everybody meet at 10, and then when we're finished, we'll go in mass to the restaurant, to Theo's. You can all hear me okay? Am I too loud, too soft, too hot? I already feel like I'm sweating. I mean, perspiring. Well, I'm excited about what God gave me. Oh, one more little tidbit I want to tell you. We've been doing children's church for over a year now. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes we have one, sometimes we have more. But the Lord, I thought, Lord, do you want me to continue writing these lessons, or do you want to do something else? And I had this catalog from Oriental Trading. It's a company that makes all those trinkets and all those costumes and all, you know, fun things. And in there, it had a vacation Bible school package about superheroes in the Bible. And, of course, if you're in that culture, superheroes are the thing. Iron Man, Batman, Robin, Superman, Supergirl, Wonder Woman just came out with a new movie. So that's all the things the kids are hearing. I thought, wouldn't that be great? So it has superheroes in the Old Testament is the title of the teaching. And each kid has a cape. Each kid has a little mask. And they have buttons for when they memorize the scripture. And then they have crafts and various things. And so beginning... not next Sunday because that's Father's Day, but the Sunday after we're going to start having these heroes of the Bible. And the point is to teach the children these men and women that we read about in the Bible. God loved them, and God enjoyed making them heroes. And when they called on him, he answered. In the same way, I don't care if you're 3 years old or four or five, or more, we can be heroes also. We just call on him, and he'll be there with his power. I can't fly. I got tickled, Brother Marvin. I hope you don't mind that I'm sharing this. You said you had a friend that, or was it your cousin, or dared you to jump off of things, got up on the barn and jump off the loft and jump. You know, I was that same way. I wanted to be Superman. And so my friend said, come over to the baseball diamond on the bleachers, and if you want to be Superman, you've got to fly. And to fly, you've got to practice. I'm not sure what kind of friend this was. So we got on the first step of the bleachers and jumped off, practicing flying. Second step of the bleachers and jumped off. Third step, fourth step. Well, we got up a little ways and they said, oh, let's just jump to the top. Let's go straight on up. We're doing okay down here. You go first. Like I said, I don't know what kind of friend that was. And I jumped and did not fly, and it hurt. But you know, we're not going to be superheroes in our own power. We're going to be it through the power of God. Amen? And so as I was thinking about what to share with you today, the Lord led me to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've been a Pentecostal type person for very long, you've heard of the gifts. The gifts. I kept waiting for a big package. When I was in the Baptist church, we were trying to be spiritual. And so we had a weekend seminar about what gift do you have? Well, I thought they were handing out stuff, Brother Fred. They didn't hand out a thing. But their idea was that God will give you some kind of gift if you seek him, and it'll be a blessing. Well, I went from that piece of information on to where I am now, and it's been a process for me to enjoy and think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Of course, salvation, that's gift number, I mean, you don't need a number two, and number one is so great, salvation. And you know that Greek word for salvation is, this is my pronunciation, soteria, which means more than just being born again. It's saved from sin, saved from death, saved from sickness, saved from disease, saved from accidents, saved from poverty, saved from the pressures of life. That's a gift, salvation. And then we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, who comes and indwells us as a second experience. But if we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we're going to talk about what's called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm kind of comfortable down here. Does that bother you if I just stay down here with us, family? I tell you what, John and I, we talk all the time about how much we love you, how much we enjoy this church, how much we are honored to be pastors of this church. It's a fun ride, I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm enjoying myself. I hope you're enjoying yourself too. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read the first verse, but I didn't put it up there. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Well, hallelujah. I don't want to be ignorant either. And Paul, writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, didn't want that group to be ignorant either. And so he goes into detail, some detail, about what we call the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's read this, starting with verse 7. Now, this is the New King James Version. It's my favorite. I made the PowerPoint so I can use any version I want to. It's my Bible. But some of these words are kind of Christian-y, you know. Somebody asked me one time, what does grace mean? I said, something we talk about in church. So I've been learning what these words really mean in real language, real English. Manifestation is one of those words. What does that mean, the manifestation? Now, if you watch television and you watch some of those spooky shows about ghost hunters and people that are looking for the supernatural and the unseen, they want a ghost to materialize in front of them or manifest. So it means something seen, something you can see or feel or touch in the natural realm, okay? But the manifestation or something you can see of the Spirit is given to each one. Now, when I got saved, I didn't look any different. I didn't talk any different. Unless you knew me, I mean, I was kind of young, so I hadn't done any major sins yet. My nose is itching. I hope I'm telling the truth. But so there was no outward manifestation. But this verse says, the outward manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Well, let's see him. You know what I'm saying? If we've got an outward manifestation, I want to see it. And sometimes I'll tell you, it's a smile on the face. So I told John, I had been saved quite a few years when I met John. I told him, you're the first person I've ever met that was glad that they're a Christian. I mean, all of them were glad they were going to heaven when they died, but none of them seemed to be enjoying the journey. But John, oh, he came to work every day. Oh, let me tell you what God said, and let me show you this verse, and let me tell you the miracles we had at church. And I thought, wow, this is a whole different kind of Christianity than I'm used to. But I wanted it from me. I wanted it. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, now here's the purpose, for the profit of all, or for the blessing, or for the help of all. Okay? So the gifts are to bless each other, help each other. Next verse, please. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Holy Spirit. You cannot have the word of wisdom without the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you're a medium. You're a fortune teller. You're a soothsayer. You're a worker for the devil. Because there's only two kinds of spirits that are coming. One is from God. One is from the devil. Amen? Amen. So, word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Go ahead, John. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. So we've now named 9 things. And I happen to have a little chart. I think I better keep one myself. John's going to pass this out if you want one. 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're going to be talking about. Don't judge. Nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you have ever heard of these before? You've heard of them before. Thank you. All right, good. We're on the same page here. But it's seldom that we see them. Do you see what, remember that first verse we talked about, verse 7? The manifestation or what you can see of the Spirit. It's seldom that we see these. John, let's go to the next scripture when you get ready, please. It says, but one and the same Spirit, and I have a capital S, and my Bible has a, that's one reason I like this translation, because when it means God, it capitalizes the word. So I like that. One and the same Spirit. One and the same Holy Spirit. Now, we were introduced to the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. When it says, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 2, and the earth was out without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit hovered over the earth. Okay, so we're already introduced to him. The same Spirit works all these things. What things? Let's name them. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. There you go. Thank you. Hallelujah. The same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one what? Each believer. Everyone that is born again, each believer, individually, as he wills. The he is the Spirit, or God. And so many times it's translated as he wills, but it really means when he wills. When I first heard of divine healing, I was a teenager, and I said to myself, I don't believe there's such a thing as divine healing. Because if somebody really had the gift of healing, I would think they would go to the hospitals and clean them out. Why would they let one be healed and not another? Because I did not understand the gift. I didn't understand the Spirit, and I didn't understand how it works. But when the Holy Spirit moves upon you to lay hands and pray for someone to be healed, This is as or when the Spirit wills, and that person is healed. I have seen people healed. I've seen legs grow out, arms grow out. I've seen tumors removed. I've seen eyes that had to wear huge glasses and now they can see perfectly. I've seen backs straightened. I've seen feet healed. I've seen a lot of healings. Which reminds me, before we go, let's pray for Brother Leland and let's pray for Brother Jerry, along with the other people that we're praying for. Amen. We'll get back to that. Now, that's the last verse, right? I think that's the last one. So let's just go through these real quickly. The paper in front of you is simply a summary, not in-depth, not research, but a summary. The word of wisdom, you could say it's revelation. It's suddenly knowing something you didn't know before. So lots of times we'll be in church and the word of wisdom will start working in John or in me. And I'll say, many times the word of wisdom has come to me about Zeta, that she, money is coming to her, that she is to be rich. Money is coming to her. Amen. Have you been blessed with money since we've been pastoring? Amen. Amen. Revelation, to know something you didn't learn. Now, I love the gift of revelation because so many times a person with the gift of revelation will open the Bible and begin to teach or preach or share, and they'll say stuff you never even thought of. It didn't cross your mind because the gift of revelation is working. For example, if you take a well-known scripture, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and you know that whole thing. Someone with the gift of revelation gets up, and they start talking to you about the Lord. What does that mean? The anointed one, the all-powerful one, the Lord. If you make him Lord, he wants to be your shepherd. He wants to care for you. It doesn't say the Lord is your judge. It says the Lord is your shepherd. The Lord provides for you. The Lord loves you. He comforts you. He gets the stickers out of your fur, you know. They call it fur. Sheep. Do sheep have fur? Wool. Now you know, I'm city girl. So what's the purpose of the word of wisdom? In that box, give godly advice to those who ask. Some people say, I don't know what to do about this. Things are not working out in my life, and I thought I was doing right. I need some help. And the person as the Holy Spirit gives them a word of wisdom, most people don't walk around in it all the time. It just comes upon them when they need it. Here's an example, John 3, 2 through 10, Jesus and Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus came to Jesus at night? And Nicodemus said, I just can't figure out how you know what you know. And Jesus answered, let me just turn to there, tickle me. In the Bible, it says, Jesus answered him. I'm not sure that I know what was his question. What did Nicodemus ask? What was his question? But Jesus answered and said, I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he starts giving a word of wisdom to Nicodemus. You see what I'm saying? Let's go to the next one. Word of knowledge. I'm telling you, this is just an overview. Word of knowledge is to know specifics about a situation. John will stand up and say, there's somebody in here and you've got pain in your toe, you've got pain in your head, you've got pain in your back. Well, I used to think, well, in a crowd, somebody's going to have pain in their back. Somebody's going to have pain in their toe. But then the Lord began to show me, as someone would say, well, that's me. And that this was not just a general word, but a word of knowledge, a word of information. And the purpose to help those who are seeking for answers. Should I take this job or that job? Should I marry this man or that man? Should I move to this town or that town? They need a word of knowledge. Now, who gives a word of knowledge? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can give you a word of knowledge about you. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to go to a pastor or a minister or someone who operates, they say, quote unquote, operates in the gifts. You've got the gift giver right here. You can have the word of knowledge for yourself. Amen. the woman at the well. You remember her? She came. She was getting water. You remember what time it was that she and Jesus had that conversation? Do you remember what time of day it was? It was noon. Hottest part of the day. She came to get water. Wonder why? Well, the story unfolds. He said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the one you've got now, you're not even married to. That was a word of knowledge. Amen? And it opened the door. So then she starts saying, oh, I see that you're a prophet. Well, let me ask you a spiritual question. Are we supposed to worship here or worship here? And so he kept moving and working on with her until, I love that story. I've just got to tell this part. After he talked to her about living water and she recognized he was the Messiah, and she ran into town and she ran to all the men. Have you ever noticed this in that story? The women weren't talking to her. She was kind of a husband stealer, they thought. They didn't want to have water with her. They didn't want to see her at the well. They would make fun of her. They were mean to her. She didn't have anything to do with them, and they didn't have anything to do with her. But the men had a few friends. Okay. She goes and tells the men, come see a man that's told me everything I've ever done. The men went running to see, to shut him up, maybe. Shh, don't tell. Praise God. I just had to go through that. Next one, honey. Gifts of special faith. Now, the Amplified, our version says faith, but the Amplified says special faith. We are all to have faith. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we're all to have faith. But this gift is a gift of special faith. These people that operate in special faith, as the Spirit moves, they can believe for something that we would think is impossible. But the Holy Spirit has moved on them in such a way that they believe it'll happen. And sure enough, it does happen. Amen? It's unusual faith or belief in the love and power of God. And the purpose is to use our spiritual authority, to obey God, to change our lives and this world into what he desires. You know, Mark chapter 11 says, speak to the mountain, doubt not, believe, and it will move. Amen. So this is special faith. Amen. And an example, Luke 17:19, the leper was healed. The lepers came to Jesus and he said, go your way. You are healed. You're made whole. Go to the next one, Hendy, please. The gifts of healings. I like this one. I want it to operate in me all the time. It does operate in me sometimes. And that's to cause someone to get well or become normal as if they had not been afflicted. And the purpose? To alleviate pain. God's a good God. And he didn't want people to have pain or suffering. John 5:5-9, remember that guy at the pool? And it was a miraculous pool. An angel would come down and stir the water. Whoever got in first would get healed. He'd been there 38 years. 38 years. And Jesus said, do you want to get well? And his answer was, I don't have anybody to put me in the water. Now, if I were him, I'd have been sleeping pretty close to that water. Lay me down on the first step so I can just roll over into the water as soon as I enter. But anyway, that's me. Jesus healed him. The man didn't even know to ask. But Jesus had mercy and compassion and healed him. Gifts of healings. I know my time's running short, so I'm going to hurry through these next. Gift of miracles. Now, a miracle is something that's impossible to happen in the natural. For the sun to stand still, that's a miracle. And sometimes healings are miracles. But to cause what is impossible in the natural to happen. And what's the purpose? To bless those in need. The other day, the people count the offering and they give it to me. They write it on a piece of paper and all this. And then I take it home and I count it again because I'm filling out the deposit slip. There were $20 more than they said. So this is weird. John, would you please count it again? And there were $20 more. It turned out by the time we finished counting, there were $50 more than they said. That is a miracle. You could say, well, your counters are... No, they use a calculator. They're good counters. God just kept multiplying money in our offering in Victory Temple Church. Awesome. And so Luke 9:16 is an example. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he needed a miracle. And he knew he had it by the Spirit. Gift of prophecy, to speak a message possibly concerning future events. And what's the purpose? To warn people or to comfort concerning events? John 14:1-3. John said, I'm going. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to go and prepare one for you. And when I go, I'll come back and receive you unto myself. Well, he's telling him about a future event, and that event hasn't even happened even to yet. Over 2,000 years later, we're still waiting for Jesus to come back and receive us and take us to that mansion he has prepared. Amen. Gift of discernment. Now, this is understanding of the underlying origin of an event, possibly even seeing into the spiritual realms. I've had people tell me, I just had a bad feeling when I went to that place, or I had a bad feeling in that situation. I believe that's the spirit of discernment trying to show you that there is a demonic influence trying to work. Well, you're not of the devil, you're of God. And so that makes you feel, something's not right. Something's not right here. Gift of discernment. And what's the purpose? Just to comfort us by giving understanding of the presence of God and protect others from an attack of the enemy. Amen. So we want to be able to discern. Some people, as the Holy Spirit moves on them, they say, I saw an angel. Did you see an angel like flesh and blood? Sometimes they say yes. Sometimes it was kind of a misty form that looked like a man. Some people say, I saw a demon. Well, what did that look like? Well, it just looked kind of like a black cloud. I have not had the experience of seeing demons, but I have seen angels. Amen. Luke 12:31, here's an example of the gift of discernment. Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you, Peter. But the rest of that verse, but I have prayed for you. Amen. So he discerned what spirit was working in Peter. Amen. Discernment. Gift of discernment. Working in you very frequently. You know. You just know. And we're glad. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've seen my angel 3 times.
Yes. Yes. And that's discernment. That fits in the category of discernment. Thank you for bringing that out. 2 more. Gift of tongues. Now, that's to speak in a language that the speaker has not learned, nor does he understand with his mind. If you speak in tongues, I have no idea what language that is. I have not learned it. I do not understand it. And there are many reasons to speak in tongues. I put down 3. First of all, you pray a perfect prayer when you pray in tongues because your own mind can't get involved. It doesn't know what you said. It's between your spirit and God. Second, to speak what is unknown in the mind so that the spirit can understand it. That's another typo. It's 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, howbeit the spirit speaks mysteries. Mystery means something hidden. So as you speak in tongues, your spirit says things, and then that moves from your spirit to your mind, and you suddenly have that revelation of understanding. And the third reason I put up here, to edify and build up your faith, that's verse 22. So that's 3. There's several other reasons to speak in tongues. Why should you pray in tongues? Why should you speak in tongues? There's private tongues between me and God. I just speak at home. And there's public tongues. And you know, sometimes here we'll have tongues and we'll have someone have the interpretation. That means God has a message for the whole group. Well, why didn't he just say it in English? He says it as a sign that it's God speaking, not that speaker not the speaker's idea. Amen. And the last one, gift of next slide, please. Gift of interpretation of tongues, to understand what's been said in a language that is unknown to the speaker or listener. Not too long after I learned to speak in tongues, I said, Lord, I want the understanding. I want to understand what I'm saying. And I talked to my cousin, and she said, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues? I said, yes, I have. And she said, oh, I want that. She said, do you know what you're saying? Do you have the interpretation? And I said, yes, most of the time I do. And she said, so speak in tongues. So I said, Bikalete oto sanamahahat. And she said, now what does that mean? And I said, that means God loves you very much. And she said, now when you said that syllable, mihalata, did that mean loves you very much? She was trying to translate. My cousin was, her major in college was Spanish. So she was familiar with speaking a foreign language and translating word for word. Tongues and interpretation are not that way. What you are doing is giving a message in another language, and it's been given in English, the English interpretation or meaning. Somebody might give a message in tongues, and one person will stand up and say, thus says the Lord, you are highly favored, you are blessed, and God goes with you everywhere you go. You say, oh, that's nice. Thank you for reminding me. Another person gets up and said, the meaning of that tongues was God is with you. He goes before you. He goes behind you. They use different English words, but it means God is with you. Do you see what I'm saying? Such an overview. Praise the Lord. What's the purpose of interpretation of tongues? To educate and edify the listeners when someone speaks in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:13, Paul says, pray that if you speak in tongues, pray that you may interpret. Because what good does it do to speak a foreign language and we're all like, duh, I don't know what you said. I can't say amen because I don't know what you said. I can't say so be it or good word. But if you have someone speak in tongues and have the interpretation, and then you can say, oh, amen. Praise God. God's speaking to us. You understand? So Paul's not against tongues. In fact, another verse, he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. But he preferred to speak in tongues in private because when he had someone to talk to, he wanted them to understand every word he said. He wanted to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. He wanted to preach the gospel. He wanted to say God loves you and wants an individual relationship with you. You have an idol that you pray to that doesn't hear you, that doesn't see you, and doesn't answer you. God wants to be your individual Savior, your individual Lord. Now, all these gifts, if you never operated in a gift, it's okay. But if you want to, and you do, and the time comes, the Holy Spirit works through you, praise God for that, because you are helping someone else. Amen? That's the purpose, to help each other. Well, this has been a lot of information packed into a short time. Hopefully that was something that interests you, but the whole point of the whole thing is that God loves you, God loves us, He wants the best for us, and those that don't have the best, He might use you to help move them toward the best. Somebody's sick, we want to tell them, God wants you well. There are a lot of churches preaching, you're sick because you did something terribly bad. You deserve it. Thanks. That's not God. Some people will say, you're sick because God wants to teach you something and you can't learn unless you get sick. Wrong. That's not right. That's like saying God needs the devil to do his work. That's wrong. Some people will tell you this bad thing happened to you because God, after you get finished, God's going to use you to preach to others in the same situation. Wrong. God does not need to use trouble to teach or help you in any way. He can bless you all by himself. But this trouble comes, so we want to help people get out of the trouble and back to believing God is a good God, God loves us, and God has good things for us. Amen? Do you believe that? I believe that too.